Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 1, we were taught that our relationship with the Lord is one of the heart. Let's finish the week on that thought today. For the Bible stands. God knows what goes on with you. God knows your heart. Are you right with God? Again, one day, there's a coming judgment. There's the, what we call sometimes the Bema seat. The Bible calls it the judgment seat of Christ. The Greek word is Bema. It's where you get reward. Some will be saved so as by fire. Others will have confidence. In other words, they'll have peace. They'll have joy because they're entering into the joy of the Lord, not just saved so as by fire. They won't have that ashamedness at his coming. But my friend, all those at the judgment seat of Christ are saved. There's just degrees of reward. It'd be greater for some than others. At the white throne judgment that is seen in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, where he says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Don't forget that he opens the book of life, but he also opens the books that is plural. I believe that's where the works are written. Everything will be made known. And then they'll look in the book of life and see that they did not receive Christ. And they're cast into that eternal lake of fire. He said, why have the judgment? Because there are degrees of punishment. The Lord says, to whom much is committed, of him more they'll expect. Kind of like having a teenage boy and a four-year-old boy, and you expect the teenager to take care of the four-year-old, and look, you're gone. You trust him with him an hour or two, you're going to hold that boy responsible and more responsible than you are the little four-year-old. That's why in the parable that God gave, he says, take from him that hath the one and give it to him that hath the ten. They're saved so as by fire. You see, God has rewards that he wants to give, but if you don't live as you ought to in obedience to the word of God, you'll suffer the loss, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 lets us know. And oh, what a terrible thing to be saved so as by fire. Now, being saved so as by fire is a billion times better than the best place in the eternal lake of fire. So let me encourage you, if you're not sure you're saved, to receive Christ as your Savior. That's important for all of us. It's important for all of us to know. So again, as we finish verse 5 and got into verse 6, he says that if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So verse 6 is this then. We have seen so far of this then. He says, this then is the message we have heard clear to you. And then we got into to the next verse, and we're looking now, if we say that we have fellowship. But the next verse, verse 7, will be but if. But now let's look at verse 6 here just a little bit more, because we're looking at it now. So he has said that this is what they're declaring unto us, and so he sees our heart. The relationship with him is truly one of the heart. You see, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit is the seat of man's intellect, contemplation, and the soul is more the seat of man's emotion. Now, you can think in your emotion. For example, a teenage boy wants to date that girl because she's a pretty. And so he's dating her out of the emotion. Another one sees a girl and says, that is a great girl. She's got a good heart. She'd make a great mother. She'd make a great wife. She'd make a great Christian, a good witness. She wants to serve God. That's a man thinking from the depths of his spirit. Because love is a choice. Love is not something that comes upon you that you can't help. No, love is a choice. And in marriage, love is an eternal choice. You're giving yourself to it until death do us part. So the bottom line in this verse is, if one is going to be intimate with God in an intimate relationship and union with the Father and Son, you simply cannot walk in darkness. You can't try to blend with the world. If you would have told me when I was growing up and even going to Christian college that one day we're going to seem as if there's something weird about us, there's something just totally, definitely wrong with us because we're against homosexual marriage. Maybe you should call it sodomite marriage. And we're against that. And so people think there's something wrong. There's something weird with you. People think there's something weird with you when you're against cold-blooded murder by abortion. I remember when the abortion debate was taking place back in 1973 and the Supreme Court made its decision. You know what everybody said in the case of rape or incest? And people were saying, well, wait a minute. No, even at that, that's still human life. And listen, what many liberals were saying to conservative people. I mean, I was there. I know that. I heard it myself from liberal people. And they'd say, what if a black man were to rape your white daughter? Now, look, that's a very racist statement. And that was being made by the left. That was being made by the liberals. But you see, they were trying to get murder passed by the Supreme Court. And so the best way to do that is to sound somewhat like the conservatives. And so a lot of people said, well, you know, we ought to go along with that. And they did. And now you say, oh, an abortion? Was it incest? Was it rape? They'll laugh you to scorn. You see, it never was their desire to have that. Now you have medical marijuana. You're going to have children killed on the streets because somebody has medical marijuana. Alcohol. Drunk drivers kill so many people. And again, it's our sin. They took prayer out of the school. This would be a good thing. Why should one person have to suffer for all the rest? Just because the rest are saying a prayer or they're reading the Bible in the class, that one person shouldn't have to suffer. Look, I grew up with Jehovah's Witnesses in our school. I went to public school. Christian school wasn't much of anything back in that day. I graduated from high school in 1967, so I know it wasn't much. And look, back in that day, we talked about creation in the school. Yeah, they were bringing in evolution, but we brought in both sides and discussed them. Now, if it's creation, they just cuss it. If they mention the name of Jesus at all, they can only mention it as a cuss word. We've had kids that ride in our church buses tell us that. And I'm just saying that they got that first step, and then all of a sudden your Christian schools, your public schools, instead of your public schools having the problem of somebody chewing gum in class or forgetting to raise their hand to talk or to get out of their seat without permission, now they're worried about them raping the teachers and beating up the principal and so many other criminal acts. And if you say something good about the president, then you're some kind of a Nazi or something else that is really bad. Look, that's the way they work. The devil wants to compromise because he wants to take away what God has already. Now, God's in control of everything, but the free will allows us to make decisions. So the bottom line is, you cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. And Christians, if you're going to try to blend the world into your worship, just understand, you may get a crowd. We're told that in the last days, that evil men seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving being deceived. We're also told that, yea, and all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's all talking about the last days. It's only going to grow. We're also told in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, to go back to the old paths, but they said we would not go. Well, they lost their country back in that day, and looking ahead to this day, judgment's going to begin at the house of God, because there's too many people that are sitting in the pews that if you finally found the preacher that wasn't lily-livered, penny-wasted, and would stand up and tell you about social drinking, call it a sin, call an immodest dress a sin, and on down we could go down that line. And this stuff of going to the movies, going to the dances, and everything else that goes on, if you had a preacher stand up there and tell you that, you'd get mad and want to run them off. So you're going to scare our children, and you're going to run off our children, and they're not going to want to come to church. The goal is not to get them to come to church. The goal is to get them saved and then to teach them to be holy as the Lord our God is holy. And when you're allowing all the wickedness and evil in the church, how in the world is the child going to say, oh, what's this about holiness and being saved? We're just as good as anybody else is that are in that lifestyle. Now, my friend, let's wake up to common sense. We're not ignorant because we believe in one man for one woman in marriage. We're not ignorant because we're against murder by abortion. We're not ignorant because we're against euthanasia. People mention the new norm. Well, the new norm is the manifestation of Sodom and Gomorrah in America and around the world. And if that's the norm, I want nothing to do with it. My God is still greater than all. If you look ahead, when you get to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, you'll say there, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father's not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. I hear two terms today that really bother me. One is contemporary, and I think the emphasis should be on temporary because it changes. Now they call themselves emerging. But the other one that really just makes me to cringe is progressive.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible.